This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The second debate among Republican presidential candidates happens tonight at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry recently dropped out of the race. That still leaves 16 candidates being squeezed into a two-tier debate. The top 11 get CNN's primetime hour. The rest will make do with an earlier televised debate, the so-called JV or happy hour debate. 16 candidates. One might be inclined to think of all that competition sharpening the candidates, get them to up their game. But my next guest says you might want to think again. Arend Hintze is an assistant professor at Michigan State University, where he studies the evolution of behavior and the evolution of artificial intelligence. Arend, good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Your new study is in the current issue of Scientific Reports, and you looked at the effects of competition. What did you find?
We looked at the evolution of sampling strategies, and what we find is that you have to have some level of competition, otherwise evolution wouldn't work. That's kind of obvious. But what we really find is that if you amp up the competition between agents that we evolve, or think of it as organisms or people that evolved, if they were in more and more and more competitive environments, well, what they do is instead of making rational decisions and making good choices, they actually evolve to become quick decision makers, which actually have a poor outcome in their quality of their judgment.
Interesting. So when you look at this field of now 16 GOP presidential hopefuls, what does the research tell us that that's doing for the candidates?
What we see is that if we give a human subject, for example, enough time to sample thoroughly, or if you look at animals that have no competitors around them, what they do is they make very, very good judgment calls. They sample often, they sample long, they make thorough decisions. And if you now increase the amount of competition, what we find is that they actually start not making good decisions. So in a sense, they are adapted to understand that they are in a competitive environment, but where they are sacrificing is accuracy and thorough sampling. This is really about sampling what we did. So if I look at the candidate field and I see how vigorous they are competing with each other, I'm thinking of an overly competitive environment. And what I know is now that, of course, you sacrifice accuracy, which means that the answers and the thoughts and everything that they are communicating is more sort of influenced by the competition among the candidates rather than by thorough thinking. So I actually think they are going to make snap decisions and very irrational choices in the end.
Interesting. But Arend, on the flip side, we've got the Democratic field, and many are noting that really until the recent surge in Bernie Sanders' numbers, Hillary Clinton didn't really have any competition. Is that just as much of a problem as too much?
You always have to have some kind of baseline of competition. If you think about evolution of, you know, survival of the fittest and competing organisms against each other, well, then in order to find out who's the best, you really have to have at least some level of competition. And if you don't have any competition, well, then you have something that we in evolution would call random mutations. And that doesn't lead to anything. So you have to have some minimal amount of competition. Otherwise, it's not working.
So it seems you're saying decision-making strategies evolve from competition, but from the right balance. And here we have these Republican candidates. They're vying to stand out. They want to get their message above the din and raise money. And this very crowded field, we hear Donald Trump slamming Jeb Bush and Bush returning the favor and Rand Paul punching away at Chris Christie and vice versa. All of this banging away at each other.
This guy can't negotiate his way out of a paper bag.
I don't trust President Obama with our records. I know you gave him a big hug, and if you want to give him a big hug again, go right ahead.
Senator Paul, you know, the hugs that I remember are the hugs that I gave to the families who lost their people on September 11th. Those are the hugs I remember.
Mr. Trump doesn't have a proven conservative record. He was a Democrat longer in the last decade than he was a Republican.
What do you hear in all of this?
I think that you or I would be in that situation and you get a question, then if you want to give like the best possible answer, you would typically say, wait a moment, I have to think about this. And if you're in this political debate, well, and you say, wait a moment, think about this, immediately the initiative goes to your opponent or to somebody else, or everybody thinks, why is he thinking about this so long? What happens here? So what you have to do is you have to have some kind of, you know, snap decision making and jumping to some, probably your first idea. And we all know that, you know, your first idea isn't necessarily the best. So, I mean, yeah, you can deal with this probably with a lot of coaching and sort of, you know, anticipating the questions, but if it really comes to like novel questions or innovative things that you have to say, well, you're probably going to fail in this situation.
So to get the best possible candidate running for the White House, what does biology and evolution tell us these candidates should be doing?
See, now I have to think about this for a second. I guess you have to have a moderate amount of competition. You have to make sure that there are competition. They have to answer and give good answers and thorough thought into their answers. But at the same time, you probably have to give them the time to actually do this. And then you can actually come up with good representations of their cognitive abilities. And then you can actually tell the difference between the candidates. If everybody in this pool only gives sort of, you know, split-second decisions that are hunches or, you know, whatever pops to their mind, well, then they're all probably equally bad. Whereas if you would have a really in-depth discussion with them, which giving them time and reducing the competition a little bit, you would probably get much better results.
Aaron Hinze is an assistant professor at Michigan State University, and he's a researcher at the Artificial Intelligence Lab. His study appears in the current issue of Scientific Reports. Aaron, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.